to another episode of Garden Talk. I am joined by Darren Snyder from the UAF Cooperative Extension with a topic that seems extremely fitting. Too much of a good thing, helping our gardens deal with all the rain, as today we are recording this during a severe windstorm and rain here in Juneau. Gunath Cheese, Shot Yigudi, thank you so much. Darren, it's a pleasure to see you again. Wasiati, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Gunath Cheese, for having me.
Of course. We're experiencing heavy rain today. There was a power outage, but it's been raining for it feels like 4 months. It's only been a couple weeks, maybe, but it feels like the 40 days and 40 nights. It's hammering us.
Yeah.
It's hammering us. So, what is that doing to our gardens, especially as we're approaching the end of the season?
Yeah. That's a good question. And, even the non-gardeners can look out the window and see that the plants are suffering right now. And, this rain is more than they would prefer if they wanted to keep growing. It's not extremely unusual at this point in the season for those of us who have been here for a few falls that it starts coming in wet and sideways. Just all this rain, a lot of folks think about water is one of those essential things with life, you know. So our plants need water, but again, too much is too much. They're working hard out there, what we have is at this point in the season, many of the plants are for example, the potatoes. You know, our potatoes are in the ground. Many of us still have them in the ground, and with all this rain and not a whole lot of sunshine, they're absorbing water like a sponge, and they're going to start potentially cracking. The same thing can happen to fruit if there were any cherries left on trees. This can just overwhelm them, and they can get overwhelmed with too much water.
So do we think about getting the potatoes out a little bit early, or do we still have to wait, or what's the solution here?
Yeah, so for potatoes specifically, if you recall in the storage piece that I shared about that, it's a good idea to knock them down a little bit, even help out this wind a little bit, knock them down. And even trim off the tops if you want. You don't have to, but then cover them up with plastic. That's really a key. That will reduce the amount of a liquid that's all around them and just let them kind of settle in a bit. This rain is really tough on all of our plants. The wind doesn't help, but as far as the rain goes, there are a lot of things that we can do in future seasons as far as how to kind of prepare for this type of at this point in the season and then throughout the season because we generally get a lot of rain about.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't been raining for all of these 40 days. Fortunately, we had a good amount of sunshine. We can recall back to some good heat.
I don't remember.
There's a lot of good sugars were being developed. The carrots were getting sweet. And some of that last growth of the season did help out many of our gardens.
Can I ask, is the rain harder on the things that are in the ground, or is it harder on the stuff that we're growing above the ground?
Well, the leaves are susceptible to all this wind, so that's one thing. But all the above ground, it depends on the plant, but if it's going to do well in Juneau, it's got to be able to handle a little bit of rain on its leaves. So a lot of our greens do really well in a lot of rain, especially the brassicas, the cole crops, the kale and the broccoli in them. They can handle it. They're thicker as well. Just the leafy greens lettuce and such, they all can handle it.
Sort of the hardy stuff that we already kind of grow here in Juneau. It's sort of made to be maybe in this environment a little bit.
Yeah. But you also, some people will notice that there will be more rot that goes on if they haven't spaced their vegetables adequately. So, you know, if you've noticed that the rain has been coming for a few days, and take a look at your garden, walk out there. And if you have plants touching each other, then maybe it's a good time for these annuals to go ahead and harvest a few of them between each other, just to make sure they have enough space. So they're not just sitting the leaves against each other. So that when there is a little bit of airflow between them, because diseases, viruses, and molds, and fungi, and bacteria can all transfer through that contact and flourish in a lack of movement of air that can occur, you know, when it's too tight.
I see. And the idea you mentioned a little bit before, like there's things you can do right now, sort of cover things with plastic, kind of figure that out. But you're also talking a little bit about pre-planning for the future, maybe, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So if you want to kind of build yourself a successful garden environment, you start with your garden bed with good drainage. And it's you can test it yourself. You can kind of pour water on, if you're new to a space, you can pour water on it, or just observe it in the rain, see if there's pooling that's going on. But generally, we want to have soils that have a good portion of sand in them. And if not, then adding organic matter, preferably mature compost, is ideal. But if you have some other organic matter sources, like just some peat, it would be useful. And especially if you're going to be growing in pots, because pots are, if you imagine it, it's containing that amount of soil, and it can't just go to the side. It can't go downhill. It's trapped in there. It may have a few, it must have holes in the bottom,
right.
But it can't get out as fast as it can get in. And so it gets soaked, it's cold. In worst case scenarios, it gets anaerobic, and without that air, because our organisms in our soil need air to live, they breathe, and so they can actually die, or just the wrong organisms will thrive.
So drainage, making sure you have proper drainage. Is there other things?
Yeah, lots of things. One of the practices is we want to have a timed release of the nutrients into the soil, and that can be achieved through various methods. There are specifically fertilizers that are designed to be time release. But just good old-fashioned manures and compost, as the organisms eat that organic matter, then they excrete, and those nutrients are available for your plant. And that's an ongoing thing. And so having plenty of nutrient-rich compost, have manures and other organic matter that has a lot of nutrient available for it is a strategy.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. And is there more?
Yeah, so much more.
So, I know, and it's funny. Yeah. I was just going to say, I was exploring the UAF Cooperative Extension site in terms of the gardening section. Uh-huh. There are so many resources there, and I highly recommend that people go check that out. They're free. There's a lot of PDFs you can download, a lot of learning about various different aspects of what we are talking about here with Darren. So, yeah, other things we might be able to do for protecting from the rain, Darren.
Yeah, so just thinking about covering the surface of the soil. There, you can cover it directly on the surface with, say, plastics, and there are special plastics called IRT, and they let the heat rays in, but don't let the water in, and don't let the photosynthetic active radiation to let the light in that's going to actually cause those plants to grow where it's covered. And so you can pop holes in that and have the plant that you want coming out of that hole, whereas the warmth is getting down into the soil, but not the light for growing the weeds, and not the water for making your soil too wet.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's called IRT plastic. And it's a plastic, so that's a give. You know, this plastic culture, it's a major give. If you want to be going without plastic covering on your soil, they do make products that are similar to, like, just a heavy paper. But you can use our locally famous seaweed for covering the soil. That helps to at least bring down nutrients along with this moisture, and just and just help out the plants in that regard. You can also do the hoops. You see them around town if you're not a gardener. You may have wondered what everybody's doing with these PVC pipes and other types of having hoops over their beds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, draping a solid piece of visqueen, clear plastic over that is one way of growing types of vegetables. You can also do that with polyspun fabric. People know the name Rime. Row covers, Agarbon, they're different brands of it, but essentially it lets some moisture in, but it sheds off a lot of the rain, and it lets the air flow through, which is different than if it's a piece of solid visqueen. If you're going to be growing like some of your summer squash, then you want to have a solid covering because they don't do well to have water on their leaves at all.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a good tip, yeah.
But then the other thing that is, of course, the high tunnels and greenhouses, and that's kind of the biggest and best way to control the environment, as in like have the plants
have a structure that you're growing inside. Yeah,
let's the light in, but then the plants, you know, they don't know they're in Juneau anymore, essentially.
Right.
And it increases productivity tremendously, but then it turns you into having to play God with everything else. You have to make sure that there's good airflow, make sure that it doesn't get too hot, and then you always have to be watering everything in there, or else it'll dry up and die.
I think it would be a really interesting episode to talk about greenhouses just in general as well in the future, to talk about that if you have the space to be able to have that. A lot of people don't have that space, but if you do, like what to think about when you're having a greenhouse. Darren Snyder from the UAF Cooperative Extension talking a little bit about too much of a good thing, helping our gardens deal with all the rain. Gwyneth Cheesh for being here again, Darren, for another episode of Garden Talk. I really appreciate it. Gwyneth Cheesh.
Thanks, Boston.